This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Brandon Bigsby here with you on this Monday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Brandon Bigsby live at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home with the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We are out here today at Hermitage Golf Course for the Hart Golf Classic benefiting Stars Nashville. That's getting rolling later this morning, 8:30 start on that front. We're going to be out here all morning long. I think Jake will be out here as well after that. So looking forward to nice morning out here at my favorite golf course in the city, Hermitage Golf Course. So very much enjoy being out here. Appreciate the hospitality from Hermitage Golf Course, from Stars Nashville as well. We'll have Corey Curtis with us at 8 o'clock from News 2. We'll have Alex Doherty from the Tennessean at 8:30. And, Joe, one of the things that we're going to get into with Alex is the Predators general manager search, which has still not wrapped up yet. Now, look, there's been pretty wide reporting on some of the names that they've been interested in, including Tom Fitzgerald, right? We've talked about that. But there are some other assistant GMs around the league that we have talked about that the Predators appear to have been interested in. But I saw Vengen put this out there yesterday, and it does raise the question of, all right, what exactly is taking so long here? So, you know, Toronto fired their general manager, Brad Treliving, on March the 30th. They hired their new general manager yesterday. So you've got not that much time that passes from them firing someone and then hiring somebody else.
A little more than a month.
I mean, he was even quicker with New Jersey. So New Jersey fired Fitzgerald on April the 6th, and they hired the new general manager like 10 days later. The Predators have been operating knowing that this was happening since February the 2nd. Like, that's when they – and they knew before then. But Barry Trotz and that announcement was made on February the 2nd. It's May the 4th. So –
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think it's a fair question if you're a Predators fan out there to wonder, okay, what exactly is taking so long, and isn't the entire point of making the announcement when you did to get a head start on all this? Now, look, they've gone through their process. You know, it's not like they haven't been working and they've narrowed down their pool. So I don't think that this is costing them, you know, a candidate or anything. So at the end of the day, it's probably not that big of a deal. But it is interesting that, you know, there's all these different teams firing and hiring new general managers, and this has taken you over 3 months at this point. Like, what exactly is the deal here?
I mean, I blame Nick Saban messing around with TV. You got to go make sure the dealership's, you know, ship shape, you know.
Playing golf.
Going to these golf eyes. Come on, man. Keep your eye on the puck, Nick.
Yeah.
I joke, but Saban is a part of this.
He is.
I think it's really interesting, actually, like the involvement of him with this. Part of obviously a methodical process. To me, it's like we're all getting antsy to find out who it is, and it seems like it's about time. I think your point is the big thing, though. It's like, do you lose out on someone that you actually that would have been a really good hire because of this? You know, that's what you.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you know, you don't, I guess it's fine. But also, like, yeah, there is a draft coming up.
Well, there's a draft coming up. And look, I've heard this from some Predators fans, and I understand it. Like, again, I don't think that it's a huge deal. So I want to be clear on that. I don't think it's a huge deal that the search for general manager is taking as long as it is, because, you know, you want to be thorough and get the right people and all that. Having said that, you know, one of the things I've heard from some Predators fans that follow this pretty closely is – okay, the last time that the Predators had a general manager opening, they basically just marched to the beat of their own drum, and it was a handoff. Like, it was a handoff from Poyle to Trotz. And you just don't see teams operate that way very often. Well, now you've got a general manager opening again, and you're treating it like, you know, Barry Trotz is a part of the search committee, and you did this one search committee to start things, and that was ended up being against the rules, and you couldn't do that. And now you're taking 3 months to make a hire, and it just kind of feels like the Predators are marching to the beat of their own drum. Like a buddy texted me the other day.
They kind of do.
And he said, you guys, this is what he said. He said, you guys are making fun of Jacksonville. And, like, they think they're smarter than everybody else in the NFL. He said, that's the Nashville Predators. He said, that's what they are with this general manager search. And I hadn't thought about it in those terms. And I don't know that I totally agree with that comparison. But it is interesting. Like, you know, I understand the thought process for the Predators. It's like, why do you guys have to be so different? Like, why can't you just go make a hire, right? And so that part of it is interesting. Like, you know, if they end up with Tom Fitzgerald here, number one, I don't think it's going to go very well in terms of the reaction from the fan base.
Right.
And I understand, you know, the talking point is going to be they just for the life of themselves can't help themselves and can't get outside the organization. Now, as I've talked about, as we brought up, I don't think Tom Fitzgerald is quite the same as, like, making a Barry Trotz hire. Like, it's just, you know, he was a part of the organization. He was the first captain. He hasn't been here since 2002. That's a long time ago. Now, he is, you know, he was in Pittsburgh. There was Ray Shero in Pittsburgh who was with David Poyle. So it is kind of all right there together in the same tree.
Yep.
So I understand that if that's the hire, it's not going to go over well from a fan base standpoint in terms of their reaction to it. So I'm interested to see who their hire ultimately ends up being here. And I don't know if it's going to be Fitzgerald or if it's going to be, you know, Brett Peterson or one of these assistant general manager candidates. But to your point, it is May the 4th. You know, you got a draft lottery coming up tomorrow. Like, it's about time to get going here and make a hire and get the next general manager in place. Because as I said last week, it's not just about the draft. You got to evaluate who's on your roster, and you got to evaluate, like, what's your plan? Like, who are you moving this offseason? Like, you'd be hard-pressed to convince me you're keeping everybody the same this offseason. So what are you doing? Like, I think you got to start to, you know, formulate those things. What's going to happen with the assistant general managers? Are they going to be here? Are they going to be elsewhere? Like, there's a lot you got to figure out here, and I think it's about time to go if you're the Predators.
People asking, yeah, if there's someone right now that's holding them up in terms of, you know, team in the playoffs.
Maybe.
You know?
Could be.
But I still feel like even with that, it's like, I mean, when you get to this point, and if you're talking about, you know, someone in a front office, I mean, how important are they at this point? Like, the team's in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's –
the GM can make moves.
That would probably be my answer. Like, it's not like teams that have been in the playoffs, particularly, like, you know, it's management. They're not doing anything.
We really need Frank to be sitting in the suite with the GM, too, you know, and, like, get him coffee.
Yeah, so, like, I guess that's possible that they could be waiting on a team that's in the playoffs, but it's also – like, to me, the general manager is different than – like a coach, right? Like, you're waiting on a coach, like an assistant coach on a bench
and
somewhere.
Anybody who's in the playoffs, like, that GM is going to be the GM next year, I think, right now. So it's someone on their staff. Like, I don't think you really need them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they'd probably like to stay along for the ride. Like, I want to keep going to the playoff games of this team I helped build. But it's like, yeah, we need to, like, if you want this job. I mean, I'm not saying that's actually happening, but yeah, I don't see why that at this point would slow anything up.
Again, I don't think it's like some massive failure or some huge deal that they've not hired anybody right now. But I do think it's fair if you're a Predators fan to ask the question of, okay, all these other teams are going through a pretty simple process here of hiring and firing general managers, and you guys are taking forever. What's the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if it doesn't happen like this week, maybe it's time to have a tantrum.
Yeah.
That'd be tantrum time.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Vingan's already on the verge of one.
I think he is. 615-737-1025,
right?
Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators general manager search, plus a team in the NHL that I've watched pretty closely over the last few weeks that has now accomplished something after last night that I think could be a lesson to this rebuild conversation we've had around here. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Brandon Bigsby there. Waiting is the hardest part on the Predators GM.
Yes, I like it.
Again, I hope that's coming at some point soon. You know, again, I look at the search here for GM. You've got the draft coming up here in just over a month. You got free agency after that. And look, I don't expect the Predators to be all that involved in free agency. I'm sure they'll sign a couple guys here or there.
You don't know what their GM
is. I should leave myself. But it's a pretty awful free agent class, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be a lot going on out there on that front. So, and if it plays out this way, which I don't think it will, Predators fans will not react well to it. But Bill Haslam did say at that press conference a few months ago that, you know, we got Barry Trotz in place until the next general manager comes in. We don't have to be in a rush. Like, it doesn't have to be. There's no timeline, which clearly there's not. There's no.
Let's just do a co-GM thing this year. Why not?
As to what's going on.
GM in waiting? Yeah. Sometimes you have coach in waiting season. How about the GM just comes in and is Trotz's assistant for a year?
Yeah. I mean, that could
sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over really well with the fan base. It's going to happen here at some point. I'm very interested to see, number one, who it's going to be, but number two, what their plan is. I just can't blame Predators fans for looking around and saying, why is this so hard? Like, why are all these teams hiring and firing people and we just can't do it? Like, it's just amazing to me. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, buddy.
Good.
I would definitely go outside the Preds family. I would go to Brandon Shanahan. I don't know what they're waiting on. Like, I think he's the ideal candidate for the Preds. And, you know, he was a rival. He would unite the Red Wings fans, you know, down in Spring Hill. So I think he'd be a win-win for sure. You know, you couldn't go wrong with Tom Fitzgerald either, but I think they need to go outside the family.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. I don't know that I'd be worried about the Red Wings fans in Spring Hill.
Bring me Shanny.
It's 1998, but yeah. I mean, look, Shanahan's a name that we talked about. It doesn't sound like it's going that way, so I don't think Shanahan's going to be the one that ends up having.
But I'll always love you, Brendan.
I'll tell you one thing that's interesting, and I heard Elliot Friedman talking about this a few weeks ago. Some other people have talked about this too. Ryan Getzlaff lives in Nashville.
Yep.
And he's not going to be the general manager.
But he might be part of
it. But he might be part of, like, the next staff here, which I think is really interesting. First off, if you're a Predators fan for, you know, a significant length of time, you're like, Ryan Getzlaff going to be a member of the Predators organization? Oh, boy.
Better than Ryan Kessler.
Goes back to those Ducks rivalry days. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know.
He was just Beelzebub, not Satan himself.
Yeah, and Kessler's got other issues right now. But it's like he's intriguing to me from the standpoint of, like, I think he's a really smart guy. And I've always been interested. You know, there every now and then there are players you look at and identify, man, I think they'd be really good in management. Like, to be honest with you, Steven Stamkos, if he wants to do it, I think would be a heck of a GM one day. Now, I don't know whether or not he's going to want to do it in the timeline, but every now and then you identify somebody and you're like, yeah, I think that person would be
as opposed to
really
a coach.
Yeah, as opposed
to a coach.
Going to coach. Yeah, like I think, you know, management would be really interesting on the guest laugh front. So something to keep an eye on there. Here's another thing. And I was just kind of making this observation last night, and then I actually saw some people on social media talking about this too. You know, the Montreal Canadiens made the Stanley Cup final in 2021. Which, not that long ago. And in the aftermath of that, basically went through a rebuild, right? Like, they made the Stanley Cup final, and they had Nick Suzuki, like, he was a part of that, and he learned under Shea Weber, and now he's their captain. He's a big part of their team and all those things. But, you know, Lane Hutson has come in on defense for Montreal. I mean, they had a child goaltender last night in a Game 7 just be totally a brick wall out there in Jacob Dobas. You've got Slafkovsky, who was the number one overall pick in Montreal. So from the time in 2021 until now, they have gone from Stanley Cup final, albeit in kind of a weird COVID year, but a Stanley Cup final against Tampa Bay, basically an entire rebuild, and now they're back at the spot where not only are they good right now, and let me tell you, they may get to the Stanley Cup final this year. They're going to be good for a long time. Like, they've got a lot of really good young players, Cole Caulfield. I mean, they're really good. So it got me thinking. It's like, you know, it wasn't that long ago they were in the Stanley Cup final. They went through a rebuild after that, and now they're back to being a legitimate threat to win a championship. Meanwhile, like, the Predators have not won a playoff series since 2018. I mean, we're approaching a decade since they won a playoff series. And everybody, you know, we have the rebuild conversation around here at all times. And in some ways, I'm kind of hesitant to bring this up because I think the writing is on the wall that they're not going to do this, right? Like, we've talked about that. Like, they're not going to go through the rebuild here. But, like, I think one of the things I've never really understood about that conversation is, yes, if you go through a rebuild, do you run the risk of being a Buffalo or a San Jose or a Detroit where it just takes forever? Yes. You do run that risk. But you also, like, if you're a pretty competent organization, have a chance to make some good decisions. And, yeah, you need a little luck along the way.
Yep.
Where it can be pretty quick, right? Like, again, you're talking not that long ago. The Canadians were in the Stanley Cup final, went through an entire rebuild, and now they're back in the second round of the playoffs, took down Tampa Bay in seven games. You know, I think them and Buffalo is going to be a heck of a series, but if you force me to pick right now, I'd pick them to win the series. So you're talking, if they do, an Eastern Conference final at that point. Like, it is possible to go through a rebuild and do it well where it doesn't take very long.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's always the eternal debate. I mean, I know, like, on DVD, it's Vingan versus Donick, right? I mean, yeah. Vingan is Mr. Rebuild. Donick is Mr. Not Rebuild. And, yeah, there are definitely cautionary tales, although Buffalo being one of them. Finally, Buffalo.
What a
story, you know. But meanwhile, the Red Wings continue to suck. But Stevie Y, he'll come back next year.
They get it figured out.
Yeah, let's hope. But, no, but to me, it's like, and then, you know, you have stories like Boston, what Boston did, right? They had their core, and they just kind of change out, but they keep – but I just think it comes – like, the – whatever you do, like, you have to have that promising young core. That's what Montreal has, right? Yep. They have some of these guys who the guys where they picked them are living up to that and then some.
Yes.
That's what it is, right? So, to me, at this point where we are with the Preds, whatever they do around it, whether it's more of a step back and more opportunity for young guys so you know you're not going to really be competitive, or you basically honor some of these veterans who do not want to just be part of that. Regardless, the key young guys in this organization, if they pan out, then, okay, things can start looking better for the future. And if they don't, then at some point, then you might really just be – you may have no choice,
yeah.
Right? And you're just looking at a bottom out at some point when some of these guys really age out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just what I'm saying is – and I heard Adam talking about this a few weeks ago, and I agree. Like, go look at teams that have won championships. At some point along the way, not all of them, but most of them have had to go through some level of rebuild, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, you know, it's been a long time since Pittsburgh did it, but they did it, right? They ended up with Crosby and Malkin and Letang and Fleury and all these guys. So, yeah, there's some luck involved there. But, like, you know, Tampa, they had to pick Victor Hedman where they picked him. They had to pick Steven Stamkos where they picked him. Like, there was some pain along the way. You look back at, I mean, again, Washington, long time ago, but you went through Ovechkin, right? Florida. You had Barkov. You had Ekblad. Like, it's most of these teams that have won championships, you point back to not that long ago before they won a championship. I mean, Colorado's another one. Nate MacKinnon, you had to get him. Cale Makar, you had to get him, right? Like, that's part of it. And it doesn't have to be that way. But by and large, it's been that way over the last 20 years.
Yeah. And in almost every case there is a great, great player high in the draft that you got. So, again.
A lot of times multiple.
Yeah, multiple. Brady Martin needs to be a great player. That's – that's a whatever you do otherwise, all around that.
Like, gotta be.
That's an absolute.
It's non-negotiable,
right?
Non-negotiable. 615-737-1025. our phone number. We talked about Cam Ward earlier in the show. There's another team in the AFC South that is facing a very interesting decision with their quarterback. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Boxing fans, 102.5 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium Saturday, May the 23rd. 16 rounds, 16 fighters each go at it for one round of nonstop action. Text the keyword fight to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win. The Boston Butchers, objectively terrifying name.
The Boston Butchers?
Boston Butchers, Team Boxing League.
Wow.
Don't want to cross those guys.
Yeah, yeah, no, don't mess with that.
Do not mess with that. Joe, we talked earlier in the show about Cam Ward and solidifying himself as a franchise quarterback this year and the chances of that. There's another guy in the AFC South that we thought had done that his first year. That since then, it's been a little bit up and down, and that's C.J. Stroud down there in Houston. And one of the big discussion points right now in Houston is, what do you do with C.J. Stroud? Do you pay him, and do you go ahead and just do that, or do you try to push it off a little bit further down the road and see what he's got this next season? And then if you do that, run the risk of the price tag continuing to just go up and up, which it does, as we know, in the NFL. So, look, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson come in, and just immediately the Texans get turned around a couple of years ago. And we remember that story, how that happened. You know, Will Anderson just signed a three-year, $150 million deal this offseason, which made him the highest-paid non-quarterback in the history of the league. So things going pretty well for Will Anderson right now. The Stroud thing is really interesting. Like, he was so good his first year. You know, people were getting his Hall of Fame speech ready after the first year down there in Houston.
Yep.
And the next two, it's been up and down. Here's what one executive said. This is from an ESPN.com story. Says, you know, the responses from executives on the poll that they've done range from they got to pay him to wait, and talked about how, you know, years two and three haven't worked that well. And one executive said this, quote, "I think he's plenty talented. I just think running a more efficient offense would justify the payday. I think everyone I talk to feels like you got to pay him. It's a low bar for the position. It could also save you money if you extend him now because the market always goes up." There are other people in this that say, you know, you look at the way he's played, you don't want to get stuck, right? You don't want to get stuck with that deal. So, Joe, I ask you, Has it been bad enough with C.J. Stroud where if you're the Texans, you seriously consider not paying him? Like, how do you think they handle that this offseason?
I don't know how they'll handle it. I think I would side, though, with the GM who's like, get him now. Maybe you can get a little bit of a discount. You know where the market's going. It's just going to keep soaring, especially at that position. And I still think he's good enough that – I would try to, yeah, like someone here, an NFC executive said, yeah, 3 year, like 42, 45 a year. You could also get into the whole franchising thing that like Washington did with Cousins, Dallas, you know, you can with Dak. I mean, you could do that. But I kind of like the idea of look, he obviously has regressed in some ways or whatever. People have figured it out, whatever it is. Also, there's a lot to that, too. And I think that they have had issues on offense beyond him. You expect a guy as great as we thought he was after year one to elevate that. You have ups and downs. You know, it's still, again, it's like think about these quarterbacks and how long it takes sometimes to figure out they're good. It's just hard for me to believe that he's just going to go nosedive, you know? So I think I would try to do that and pay him like in a three-year type of deal and see if he would go for it. And if not, then you just sit there and wait and you tag if you need to.
I think I kind of side with this AFC executive, which says, quote, "It hasn't been perfect. That defense has carried a lot. $25 million isn't crazy for a fifth-year option. So you keep your leverage, you get another year of information on durability, production, mental toughness, all of it." I think that's probably what I would do if I was Houston. I would get another year, and if he ends up going crazy and balling out, that's a price as an organization I'm willing to pay. Like, yeah. If you're convinced after that he's your franchise quarterback, I'm willing to pay a little bit more for that than I otherwise would have. Having more solid information and feeling more certainty on that if I have the Texans at that point. And the flip side of that is if he goes out there this year with, by the way, as they mentioned, a really good defense that's kept them in a lot of these games over the last couple of years, and it's just more of the same, which is, I don't know, man. Then, I mean, we see it in today's NFL more than, like, you find quarterbacks in the offseason. It's – there'll be some retread somewhere that ends up back in the thing. Like, I do wonder – with what Sam Darnold has done, with what Mayfield has done, Geno Smith to a lesser degree in Seattle, then goes so well for him in Vegas. But what those guys have done, does it make teams, we mentioned earlier, more patient with the quarterbacks that they have? That's interesting. Does it also, if you're in a situation like Houston, make you more willing to move off of a guy knowing that you just the last few years in the NFL, you have been able to find guys that have come from other organizations and other situations and have stepped in and have played pretty well? I wonder what that looks like.
Yeah, maybe. But there's still other organizations that are, continue to wander through the wilderness. You can still wander for a long time. And you really don't want to be the organization that watches this guy go trash heap and then go somewhere else. I don't think that strategy is terrible. But again, Stroud, so this, so last year, 3,041 yards, 19-8 TD to, that's not enough touchdowns, obviously. Houston was 9-4 in the games he started and finished. Certainly a lot of that credit does go to the defense. I guess it's also like what's, sometimes you talk about players in contract years and sometimes they play great. I think with quarterbacks, it's a little different though, right? Like with quarterbacks, I almost feel like I'd rather have peace of mind for my quarterback and that might inspire better performance than the pressure of let prove it to us this year, whereas again other positions where it's more about like staying in shape or the effort, things like that. Like look what's like Simmons last year, like cut it all down and he was a monster, he had the best career. With a quarterback, right now, it's still, if you're Houston, you're like, this is going to be our guy in 10 years, probably.
Yeah.
We're a little concerned with things, how things are going. That's kind of where I trend toward the give him something, see if he likes that, and if there's some, okay, good, I feel some security, I feel some trust from the organization, I'll go, it's maybe good mentally for the QB. But, yeah, I mean, either of those approaches – is fine. It's obviously you just wish if you were the Texans that you just had certainty right now.
Well, I think if you're the Texans, you're looking at the picture right now and you're saying we have a championship level defense. Like our defense is, if it's not the best in the league, it is on the very short list of best defenses in the league. And you don't want to squander that. Like,
yeah.
I understand we always look at quarterback. And that's the direct correlation we make to winning and losing. And most of the time, that's the case. But when you have a defense like they have, like, you're just not going to score a whole lot on those guys. Like, so all you really need your quarterback to do is to go out there and, number one, not screw it up. And, number two, get to, like, 22 points. And you're feeling pretty good about your chances if you're the Texans with that defense that they have. And I feel like if you're in that organization, like you kind of know that right now, right? Like you've got one of the best corners in the league. You got a combination of Hunter and Anderson on the edges right now, which is as formidable of a combination as you're going to find in the NFL. Like you just – it feels like they're in their window right now to win.
Yeah.
And it's amazing having this conversation, like is Stroud the thing holding them back, given what he did a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not great if that's what you – but then you get into, so yes, Seattle just won it all. So, I mean, that's the ultimate. Oh, Vikings let him go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate. But still, like, how often is that going to happen? Where you're going to get someone, Now, with them, I suppose you could say, yeah, but just give me like a middle of the NFL quarterback performance and that could be enough. So, I get it, You got to, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they have sacrificed OCs. They have, you know, they've blamed other people. That's usually how it goes.
Yep.
You want to blame everybody but the quarterback. I mean, we see it here. Like, every time we talk about Cam Ward, people immediately start talking about everything else but him, you know. I'd love to know what they, you know, what the day-to-day is with him, you know.
Well,
and what the feeling is within the organization about why these things have gone the way they've gone.
Well, it is interesting that there's nothing that's happened yet, right? Like,
yeah.
they didn't mess around with Will Anderson. They got the deal done with Will Anderson.
And I love that deal, by the way. I like the short, you know, it's just a 3-year, but yep. It's just massive money and everybody's happy.
Right. And look, you got the 5th-year option with C.J. Stroud. So it's not like there's a huge time crunch here. I mean, he's only played 3 years. So
it's just that we would have expected by now.
This
is a reflection of reality.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's
got to play better than that.
It's gone. And the other thing is it's gone down every year with him. Like it started, he was his first year. You're talking 15 games, 64% completion percentage, 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 picks. I mean, he was awesome as a rookie. You know, the next year it starts to go down a little bit. And who pays the price for that? Well, Bobby Slowick. He gets fired.
Yep.
This past year, and there were some injuries involved. He's 14 games, 3,041 yards, as you mentioned, 19 touchdowns, 8 picks, and he's horrible in the playoff game.
Yeah.
So it's going, it's trending down. That's the thing that I think scares you to death if you're a member of that Texans organization.
Yeah. And so, what are the reasons, you know? One, I mean, health. That could be an excuse, but also that's a concern if that's the thing, right? Like, are you gonna start getting into that more often? And then just the day-to-day of what he does. I mean, you know, it's you set a really ridiculously high bar for yourself in that first year, but still, that's the thing. I think the biggest thing of all of it is how he played in that playoff game. You know, like that's alarming that at the biggest moments you're that – inept as an offense overall, but again, he's the QB.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 is coming up at 8 o'clock. Alex Doherty will be with us at 8:30. We got the Rob Rant coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. It is that time of the day here on the program. Into the Rob Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters the most. Joe, would you say that's the highlight of your career?
You forget how great just that little clip is on its own. The no worries.
It's the greatest clip we have.
No worries.
Yeah.
I love the no worries.
Don't worry about it.
The fact that he went with Rocks Road. So, like, on the – what was it spelled incorrectly? Like, was
no.
it spelled with an O?
I mean, I don't think so.
So there was an E there in front of him, and he said Rocks Road.
Maybe he just couldn't read it. I don't know.
I mean, like, it's amazing, actually.
I think it's...
Hi, I'm Scott Stapp. I think E's are O's.
I'm going to go with the long-standing theory that I've always had, which is he listens to our show and knows that you don't like him, so he was like, screw you, Rex Road, here's your name. That's what I'm going
full
with.
Full troll.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Sket Stapp.
Yeah, that's what I choose to believe as the way that all went down. All right, so
amazing
today...
Amazing stuff.
Pretty simple. Do we have to consider every somewhat prominent quarterback that retires now in the NFL, or at least is thinking about retirement, do they have to go on TV? Like, is that where we're headed in the NFL? Like, look, we've had the Tom Brady discussion. I understand people have differing thoughts on how good or not good he is. From a business standpoint from Fox, like, I get it. It's Tom Brady, and I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes, but I'm sure he's, you know, schmoozing people and coming to these events, and they obviously felt strong enough about it where they thought paying him $300-something million was worth it. So whatever. I mean, good for Brady, I guess. Yeah. But like, we've seen Drew Brees go on TV and wasn't very good. We've seen Matt Ryan go on the CBS set and he was okay. Like, at least fine. But I didn't walk away from the broadcast thinking, oh God, thank God Matt Ryan's on TV.
He's right? Better than Drew Brees.
He's better than Drew Brees. So like, we've seen this happen. Like, Romo, I think, started all this, and he was, I thought, really good early. And quite frankly, I don't think he's very good now. It's just me. But apparently Russell Wilson's the next one. So Russell Wilson, according to friend of the show, Andrew Marchand, is in deep discussions to go into TV, and it looks like the NFL Today on CBS is the favorite. With Matt Ryan, obviously he left that TV program. He's now – with Atlanta running their football team. So there's an opening there. Maybe this is just who it is. I just don't think Russell Wilson's going to be good on TV at all. Like, he's too much of a dweeb. Like if he's anything like he is on TikTok, I don't want to watch him on TV, right?
Like, what is he like on TikTok?
I don't know. He's just too – I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you watch him and you're like, yeah, I could see why there's a lot of his teammates that just don't like him. And, again, I'm sure he's a fine guy, right? Like, I don't think he's some jerk or anything. Although, I will say, like, the, hey, I better have my own office thing in Denver is – yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but, like, do we really need to put Russell Wilson on TV? Like, is that the best we can do is Russell Wilson on TV? Like, frankly, I think I'd rather them just leave that seat blank and not put him on TV. But it looks like if you – like, when the day comes that Kirk Cousins retires, I actually think he'd be really good on TV.
Oh, he'll be incredible.
So – but I think he'd be really good, like, as a color analyst, like, doing the game.
Yes.
I don't know that I necessarily want to see him in the studio. Like, I want to see him doing the game. Like, honestly, I kind of want to see Mike Tomlin doing the game and not doing the Football Night in America stuff in the studio. Like, I'm interested to see how that all plays out. But, like, I read this yesterday and was like, oh, so Russell Wilson's going to be on TV? Great. That's what we need. It's just Russell Wilson.
It's a good point you bring up, because it is like – because now I'm just looking, I'm trying to think of, like, all the QBs, you know, in the league. Are they all going to try to do this? Is this, like for example, here's another guy. When he's done, I'm good. Matthew Stafford, you're good, man. Go ahead, just go retire. Yeah. I don't need, you know. But another thing is, you hit on it there, too. I don't care about the studio stuff because I don't watch it. Now, when you watch Sunday Night Football, they go back a lot with them. Or, you know, obviously, there's a halftime stuff. But, yeah, if there's someone really good, I want that person to do a game. That's when you really, like, get to the benefit of their talent or their insight, right? Yeah. I hope Cousins doesn't just sit in some studio. Like, again, like the Matt Ryan, I didn't think he was that good. He was fine. But you know how much time I watch of him doing it? Maybe like 10 minutes in my entire life.
Well, I think the studio – I'm sure there are still people that wake up and like 10 a.m. comes around, like, I got to turn on the NFL on Fox or I got to turn the NFL on CBS.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, like, that's what I did.
Sure.
Like, we got home and it's like, well,
yeah.
And I kind of went back and forth between all of them. And in the NFL Countdown was on there too. Used to love that show.
Yep.
And I just, like, my viewing habits of it have changed. I mean, I don't really care about that thing anymore because there's so much content now, like, leading up to games on an NFL Sunday that by the time it comes around, it's like, well, let's just get to the game. I really don't need to sit here and watch you break it down for 2 hours again. So I think a lot of people's viewing habits have changed from what they were 20 years ago. But I, even beyond all that, this is me personally, I just look at him like, really? Like Russell Wilson? I just don't think he's going to be very good.
Yeah, he's just not – he's not super likable, you know? And, like, and some of that stuff is probably why, because people know some of these stories now. And, like, you know, Marshawn Lynch putting him on blast and up for how he was with Seattle.
Yeah.
And, like, but, yeah, he's just – I don't think he'll be very good. Yeah, I'm trying to go through it now. Like, you know, Stafford – no, he's going to retire soon. It's like, yeah, I'm good.
Josh Allen might be good one day, but he's a long way away from not playing anymore.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I it's hard to even, like, because I really thought Drew Brees would be, and then I was like, oh, God, this is bad.
Yeah.
And I actually watched that studio stuff just to, like, see if he was going to be good, and I was like, oh, God, he's terrible.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's like go through the entire league. Is everybody going to try to – anybody who's a quarterback just because of the visibility of that position, you're going to try to do this? And then, meanwhile, you get, like, the random, like, pretty decent tight end who's awesome at it.
Yeah.
And I know I'm probably a bigger Greg Olsen fan than most people, but I just think he's great at what he does, doing the games, right? Russell, yeah, I mean, I guess I hope maybe he gets an opportunity. It's probably not a bad idea for him to try to, like, get out front on this now that he doesn't want to just be, like, the backup for a bunch of time, right? Like, Cousins is doing this year.
I don't blame him.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's really good money in having these positions. So, like, I don't blame the the quarterbacks going from, hey, I'm making a lot of money playing quarterback in the NFL, and when I'm done, I'm going to make a lot of money doing TV doing it. So I don't blame them. I just – we don't have to put somebody on TV just because they used to be a quarterback. Like, I guess that's my point. It's like, you know, not all the quarterbacks are going to be good at this. Like, there are some that are, right? But – you don't have to put somebody on TV just because they used to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Sam in Portland says, the Broadcast Corporation thing, Don Meredith. Danny Don was awesome. You got to be of a certain age, but, I mean, that guy was freaking hilarious, and he'd start yelling at Howard Cosell. I mean, Dan Fouts. See, here's the thing. Dan Fouts, as you all know, well, you may not all know. If you don't know, I love Dan Fouts. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time.
Friend of the
he
show.
Wasn't very good, man.
Yeah.
And he came on our show.
He did.
All due respect, Dan. Love you. But it was as an announcer, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Aikman's fine.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's okay.
Somebody says Jameis. Like, first off, I would love that. As you know, I'm all for as much Jameis content as we get. I also think, like, Jameis might be too goofy. Like, he may be so over the top that he may be too much on TV.
I'd be willing to give it a try,
but I think he's the type of guy that after about week 10, you may look at him and be like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Like, he just
could
know?
Be. Yeah, he's interesting because, again, if he does what I value in that is. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Tyler. Greg Olson was a better tight end than I said. I'm sorry, Greg. No, but what I value is, again, just being able to tell you something you don't obviously know in real time, real fast, which is why I still like, yes, Romo's gotten annoying and he's kind of jumped the shark and whatever. Maybe he seems to make mistakes that are like, if you actually knew these teams, you wouldn't make the mistake. So that's on him. I still think he, in a moment, you'll get a lot of insight within a game. You just have to be able to overlook some of the gaffes and stuff like that, you know. It's like, who's the next quarterback who's going to do this mentality? And again, just the complete over-hyping, over-paying, over-valuing of Tom Brady.
Can't wait till Rodgers
on TV. So comes back to that. Rodgers?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, good God.
I don't think he's going to do that, but I haven't thought he was going to do a lot of things that he ended up doing.
He'll sign one-year deals, and then every year he'll wear an ABC shirt, and he'll wear a Fox shirt, and wear an ESPN shirt.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Nevada Josh says, hey, maybe that's Will Levis's calling in life. We'll see. Corey
maybe.
Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.